Stephen Justin here. Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella with Justin Sliva, broadcasting from Southern California, and Justin's in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey. How's it going today?
Justin and I introduce Finance Friday, and we did it last Friday. We really actually kind of messed it up. Well, I messed it up because it was the first episode, and that's just what happens. Mm-hmm. But today, I think it's for real. Justin was just telling me before the show, he's got a bunch of deals that he's looking at from Land Academy members and other land investors out there. So
yeah.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question Justin posted by one of the members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and I'll read the question, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Stephen Kish asks, looking to do the latest acquisitions, or my latest acquisitions, with funding with a funding partner. Let me know if you're a funder or you're looking to do deals with somebody. I don't have an agreement for this. Does anyone have one that they can share or send directly to me? Also, when doing a purchase using funding partner, do you allow the funder to take title? Any question? Any answer would be appreciated. So go ahead and run with that,
Justin. Wow, I think that's a great question. I actually have spoken to Stephen Kish this week on a couple properties. We actually looked at four of the properties that he had. Some great properties. We sent him some emails back, and we're still kind of figuring out the last bit of it. But so normally what we do on our side is we do take title of it because we're putting the money up. You have an investor agreement with us. It's a one-page document. It kind of lays out the expectations of both sides and how the split's going to be, what we're going to do with it. And it's signed online. It's pretty simple, pretty easy. Just what property, what our expectations are, and then what our split looks like. Our split's 50-50 of the profit on the back end. We do fund all of it. We fund the closing costs, and those come back out on the front side. So
can you give us a numbers example of, like, oversimplification number of what a split would look like? Because those are the questions I'm getting at.
Yeah, we are. We'll say we had we just greenlit a property. It was actually $10,000 on a dot with closing costs. We're going to be $10,800. We're expecting that property to sell for about $32,000 to $35,000. So for, we'll keep it simple, be $10,000 sells for $30,000. We pull the $10,000 back on the front, and then we split what's left over from HUD to HUD, and that would be $10,000 each way. It's a cool little thing we have there. It's, some people are like, $10,000, I'm paying you to borrow your money. And I'm like, well, we're not a bank. If you only made $500, we're only splitting $250. So, we're kind of riding it out with you.
Boy, my answer to that is you are welcome to go to your bank and get funding on these deals.
Yeah, and that's I've tried that. They laughed at me, and that's kind of where this came from. We had some guys asked to do some private funding. I did it outside of our entity with my land business, and it worked out pretty well. And I was like, man, there's a lot of people that need that. And then we turned on it, and then after the podcast last week or 2 weeks ago, just coming out, they were. We're getting 10 to 12 requests a day on just information or properties being thrown at us. We've had 40 properties this week sent to us, and we actually looked at 17 of them really closely, and we greenlit four. So,
wow. Well, let's get into it. Today's topic is Finance Friday with Justin and me.
Yeah.
This is the meat of the show. And, I would love to, today and just probably every other day, this is kind of taking on its own template form. If you can describe your week, you kind of already sort of just started there and tell us. Yeah, I mean, you looked at 17 and you said you greenlit four.
Yeah, a little bit more than we kind of talked about. And out of those four, something will come up. The person will either say, "Hey, I want to fund myself." They'll we won't make it through close for some reason. But I see that two or three of them will probably make it through into closing and actually get into the put back to market. It's kind of what we saw that kind of took us out of a couple of these deals were access. We talked about access, the two track versus, and the question is it easement? Can you prove that it's a deed of easement? What that looks like? A lot of times people can't. And so we asked the question of, okay, well, would you want to buy it if you can't get to it legally? There's, you have legal deed of easement, you have, physical access, legal access, what the different realms we're going to go with. But buildability was another big one this week. A lot of stuff that's in the mountains that has an easement to get to it, but when you look at it in 3D, you can't really do anything with it. And you're like, well, it's beautiful. And they're like, yeah, it's got great views. but where are you going to sit? The lawn chair won't even sit up there because it's just so steep. And so
it's
we're
too slopey, yeah.
Yeah, too slopey. So we've actually had a couple people that had, and this is kind of crazy. It's fun part for me is had multiple clients send me the same property. So, and you're like, yeah. So you're like, oh, yeah, I've already looked at this one. So you kind of look at it and you give them the same feedback. You just, hey, if you can get it for X, you know, be a good deal. Wouldn't go over that. It's this are the reasons. And this one was actually pretty slopey. So, you know, give the same feedback to both parties and kind of leave it at that and don't try to get too involved. But a couple, multiple hundred plus acre properties in California brought in. California was pretty heavy this month. Pacific Northwest was really heavy this week as well. You know, your Oregon's, your Washington's, people are real active up there in that area. That's, it's awesome. It's a beautiful country up there. Texas, seeing that, we've had fire properties in three different states too. That, wow. That's interesting. You know, and the sellers are being, they're disclosing it saying, hey, these were in fires. And so the question becomes like, hey, well, have you looked at the property at what state it is in today? And one of them we had, the road that you turn on had great access, beautiful property. You could look back in 2013 on Google Maps and see what it looked like.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. You look at 2016 picture, and it's pretty charred up. And it says, okay, well, let's spend $50 and get somebody out there with a cell phone and take some pictures and let us know what it looks like. And that's wow. That's been a, you know, somebody looked at me like I was crazy when I said it, but I think that that's a $50 well spent, you know, even if we have to cover it.
Are you getting any sense that you have some people submitting properties that are under contract, then they're just dumping them on you to see what you say. So, and then kind of you're making their acquisition decision for them.
You know, you see that a little bit. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So I'd like to believe that that's not happening more, but you do have some people that ask questions and say, hey, they send me a list of properties. I look at them. I say, yes, no, these are my feedback on it. And then I don't hear from them ever again. And so that's kind of a, that's a tough deal, but it's, I want to believe that A, they got busy, or B, they're not going to pull the trigger, or they didn't have it under contract. And it was just kind of a, we had this offer and that people called me back and I wanted, before I called them back, I want to know what I should say.
Yeah.
So, and the good thing is for that is, you know, we hired a transaction coordinator this week. So we're looking at getting her up to speed to where we can have her in place to say, hey, somebody gets a purchase agreement back or a phone call back, she can take it from that point and run it to you sell the property, and she just takes a piece of the deal. And that's a great thing for scalability for a lot of our clients, and we're going to have that offering in-house.
That's great. Man, that's a huge benefit. So not only are you going to fund it, but you're going to help close it for a fee.
Yep.
I mean, that's just as a natural, that's a natural progression.
Yeah. So it's all turnkey right there for you. And you have one person to talk to. We actually just got off the phone with my commercial guy here locally. He's looking for commercial space to fit what I need. A, to have a podcast studio so we can continue to do these Finance Fridays and our other endeavors. And then B, have enough space to have two and three of those people ready to go at a drop of the hat, and then keep everything. It kind of be like a land think tank in Burleson, Texas.
Yeah.
So it'd be pretty neat. So we're looking at that right now. He's going through his different spaces he has available when we're looking probably into first quarter or January, February rolling into it.
So, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy we're like involved in each other because it's like you're almost finishing the sentences that we start and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great to work with that. I read something earlier, you know, surround yourself with people that keep pushing you forward.
Yeah.
And that you like being around. And that's what we've tried to do. That 18's been a pivotal year. And I remember on a podcast that you said last week, it kind of gets, you start to lose friends, but you start to make new ones. And those relationships you start to build. And so it's, I almost came in my bathing suit today, but, but it was, it's a, you know, it's a good thing to have like-minded people around each other, kind of pushing you forward and putting those pie in the sky ideas into fruition. And seeing what you can do with them.
That's awesome, man. You know, we're releasing, we have scheduled releases for House Academy. And then after that, we're kicking around whether it's going to be Mobile Academy or there's a couple other programs that we're kicking around yeah. that are in the writing stages.
Okay.
I just think that's going to expand your business. Do you see buying and selling houses as profitable? And I mean, are you interested in moving that kind of real estate as much as you guys are with land?
My partner is, he loves the idea of houses. And you got to remember this year, between the guys that I've worked with and myself, we've wholesaled or flipped 21 houses this year. Right now I've got two currently going that are flips that I'm actually doing. One's a little bit more in depth than I've normally gotten. Beam goes in tomorrow, new cabinets. We gutted the bathroom last week. It's a full remodel, but the numbers were there for us. What I see, you have a lot of cash outlay in a house yeah. that you flip that away. And yep. with the amount of cash we have wrapped up in houses right now, I'm like, I could be doing 12 land deals that are going to make X amount back, and this house is going to make this back. But at the same time, I'm like, I want that feeling of experience and that hands-on, because that's my personality. It's like, I want to go touch something every now and again. Now, I don't want to go do everything, but I go out there and I think I put blinds up yesterday in one of the houses, the flip houses we have listed. I just didn't think it felt right, so I went and put blinds up. Gave me something to do. I wouldn't do it at my own house, but I would go do it here because I feel like I'm doing something. So it's but to answer your question, yes and no. It's a natural progression. I think the hard money side there's some pieces there. Some of the capital guys we work with there, they love houses, and it's just a tangible asset. They love the commercial side. They love income producing properties. Land, they look at me like I'm crazy.
Yep.
When I bring up land, and they call it an alligator, and I, cause it's just going to chomp away at you. But, with a house, for instance, a carry cost on a land, you have taxes once a year, maybe HOA once a year. On house, you have, you're working on it, so you got electric, water, if you have hard money, you're on the juice for it, you have that, and then you have insurance, because if it burns down, you want to protect your investment. So you do have some recurring cost every month. Mm-hmm. But wholesaling houses is a totally different world. So, and there is some benefit to that if you can put that in place like y'all do. It's a, you have no cash outlay, you just shuffle in paperwork, you get it to close, or you find transactional funding to get it closed and get it listed on MLS.
Yep.
So there's a lot of benefit in that, and it's a great opportunity for a lot of people.
Yeah, I have not looked at our 2018 numbers yet, but I'm going to guess and say I bet we made more money on houses than we did cash money.
Yeah,
percentages on houses over land, and the transactions just are the way that we have it set up, where there's just no real work for Jill and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I've watched, we separate the bank accounts for houses and land are separate.
Okay.
And I'm watching what's going on, and they're pretty close to each other, but land started with a lot more.
Yeah.
We literally had a bank account that started with zero for houses.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what we did last year. When we started wholesaling houses, we, you know, it kind of fell into the first one, rolled into the second, then ended up doing like 8 or 9 more. And I actually lived off that money, and the land money just went back into the business. And so it was easier. This year's complete year was funded by a commercial deal. It was an 8-unit apartment complex. So my whole year was made off that, and land just went back into land, and then the houses on top of houses, you know? So it's a, I hate houses and love houses. This is a love hate relationship. It's like, oh yeah, it's great. If I do this again, punch me. That's what I told one of my partners yesterday. He decided to ride with me, go pick up blinds. And we were talking podcasts that we're kind of putting together. And, he's like, I told him as we were walking in to get the blinds, I said, if I do this again, just punch me as hard as you can. So it's
like renovating. Yeah.
We
put carpeted, we painted and carpeted the interior of a house this year.
Mm-hmm.
That we're just about ready to close on from a sell side. Well, we're going to clear $80,000 on it.
And, nice.
And even that, we didn't do anything. The boots on the ground did 100% of it. And even then we're like, this took like 2 weeks to get paint and carpet in realistically. So maybe not, but in the end, you know, in the end, the money goes in the account and you're just like, maybe it was worth it.
Yeah. And that's where I've been. Our apartment complex, we put $5,000 worth of reno work into it. We did carpet on stairs. I put in 2 appliance packages in kitchens, put floors in a living room and a bathroom in one of the units, and then adjusted all the contracts that were in place. Now that was easy. But when you start putting in some beams and moving islands and new cabinets and gutting bathrooms, that's a pain in the butt.
Yep. Yeah. So, that's not the business model we teach, and it's not the business model at all. It all starts with that thought. You know, where you're looking at the asset, you're looking at the deal, and you're saying, you know what, we can make a clean $25,000 on this thing really quickly, or we can do this. We can put this in. We can do this in and make $100,000. And that's how. That's so I avoid that thought altogether anymore.
Yeah,
I don't really let myself go there.
It's nice to make $25,000 and not do much work, and you know, other than sign paperwork, answer the call, sign the paperwork, move it to escrow, and get them to take care of it for you.
Exactly. So. Yeah, I know you brought it. I know you said it last week, but what's the perfect deal for you? People are obviously catching on to this.
Yeah.
It's working for you and them. So in the interest of not having your time wasted or anybody else's, like what's a great land deal for you?
So we look for it. The first thing I'm going to look at is it has access. So make sure you have a road to it. If it's a desert 2-track and it's out in the middle of nowhere and you can't see the easement pretty quickly, I start digging a little bit deeper at that point, but seeing a purchase price of anywhere between 5 and $15,000 that we know it's going to list for, you know, $25,000 to $45,000. And everybody's like, well, that sounds like home runs. Well, yeah, that's what we're here for. We want to make sure that we get you to, you can land your home runs. But we see those quite a bit. Like this week, just for instance, $11,000 purchase price sold for $32,000. $7,000 purchase price sold for $20,000.
Those are normal deals. I think.
But if you're doing one of those or two of those a week as an investor, or you're doing two of those a month and you're making $10,000 to $20,000 a deal, you know, you're having a pretty good life. That's $250,000 a year life for somebody that's doing it part time. Yeah. Then you decide to scale up your business and how do I do it once a week? How do I do it three times a week? You know, those are the type of deals that we want to see. And I think that that's how we help our investors grow, because we're allowed an opportunity to do that. So
Joe Martin just cleared $130,000 on a deal and quit his job. Jill's yeah. actually going to have him. I don't know if you've heard about this, because Joe's in our group and Joe knows Justin. So
yeah.
Jill's going to have him on her show next Wednesday on the live Facebook show. He's going to tell the whole story, but
nice. You
know, I think that's a home run.
Yeah, no, I agree. For me, on the transactional deals for us, you know, do you say, okay, hey, we're going to swing for, you know, we have a deal on our table right now. It's $350,000. Comps at $1 million. You know, that's a life-changing deal for somebody.
Yep.
Is that a home run? Well, yes, but realistically, when somebody goes out to mail and they're wanting to understand exactly what we look for, to me in that transactional piece, if I can buy for, if we're putting up 10 and you're going to get 30 back, and you get 10 back on your side, you could do that deal the next one yourself. Now you've scaled out of us. You decide to use us, you can do two deals now, you scaled out. So to me, that's that home run to scale is my whole goal. It's not to say, okay, hey, I'm gonna clear $200,000 on every deal. Yeah, we could do that. But at that point, how do we help the regular investor scale? And can you do that more than once, or what that looks like? So so I guess solid doubles, I guess you could call them, versus a home run.
That's what I would say. You know, you buy for 10 and sell for 30, that's a real stand-up double.
Yep. But you do that once a month, you're making $250,000 a year.
Yep.
Right? My math right? 20? Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, real batting. Maybe you hit one or two out a year.
Yeah.
Now you're in the $500,000 to, you know, approaching $1 million a year.
Yeah. And I can speak for what we've done this year. The first quarter of this year, first half of this year, we had five deals that all netted over $60,000. We had one that made over $100,000. And so those put you in a different bracket going into the second half of the year. It's like, okay, I can either work on a passion project or I can focus on growing those things up. And the idea of I've got to make $1 million today or tomorrow is not necessarily the mindset for a 36-year-old guy that's just trying to get started. But what is the plan to get there, and how do I snowball it up where I can consistently make those type of returns. So
without question, that's exactly the attitude you have to come into this with.
Yeah.
Putting a system in place where month over month, you're making a little bit more money and learning a little bit more, and then using the tools that you're providing, we're providing, or whatever, wherever you find tools to just get better and better and better at it, and spend less money on less time on the stuff that's just dragging you down.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And that's the transaction coordinator you talk about. And 2.0 is just that getting that time out of there and getting those people in place. You know, they just make sure that they're checking on a title. They're checking on, you know, the photographer. They're checking on that. They put the boilerplate out and they list it out. And those type deals, you freed up your time and you have them do one deal a month with you or one deal a week. They're not overworked. You're not overworked. And you're still making, you know, you make $1 million a year at that same $10,000 to $20,000. So make $20,000 a week. You do it every week. You're making $1 million. And that's actual cash.
And it's not a lot of work.
No. It's one deal a week.
Guarantee it's less work than a full-time job.
Agreed. And that's, I think that me and you, people like us, we get in trouble with that. We if we don't have a full-time job, we're finding something else to do. So we're going to add more to our plate. And so
I was just going to ask you, because last time I saw you, you were like, you know, I didn't quit my job to, you know, spend a lot of time doing stuff.
Yeah.
I bet you're working probably 50, 60 hours a week, right?
The last couple of weeks I've been up pretty late going through deals and doing some calls late at night. Cause I try to see the kids a little bit before they go to bed, but you know, at the same time I'm like, okay, well, West Coast is 2 hours behind me. It's 8 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock there. So I could still work a little bit later with those those clients. And so that's what we've been doing.
That's awesome,
it's
awesome, man.
It's definitely a neat turn of events. It's been a crazy couple of weeks.
Awesome. Hey, you're going to join us later for the Land Academy Advanced Member
Yep.
Webinar, right?
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, wouldn't miss it.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15, I guess, maybe 30 minutes listening to Justin I's version of the Land Academy show. Join us next time for another interesting episode of the show. And we answer your questions posted online at the online community, landinvestors.com. It's free. Hey, as always, you are not alone in your real estate ambition. Thanks a lot, Justin. Talk to you soon.
Hey, no problem.